you got?
Cooking.
How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
You know, being a Houston Astros fan is kind of like riding on the world's tallest roller coaster, isn't it? Up and down, up and down, and up and down. Geez, I think I'm getting vertigo just watching baseball these days. Well, you don't need to go back very far to see exactly what I'm talking about. The Astros just barely squeezed into the playoffs in the first place, with a losing record, no less. Heck, that one-loss record in September was abysmal. If you've listened to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show the last couple of weeks, you already know how many ups and downs I've had. And I've even admitted how happy I was to be wrong. Remember that? Because after that disastrous September, jeez, I'd just completely given up on them. I even went so far as to say something like, we all know the Astros are going nowhere in the playoffs. And boy, was I wrong. And yes, I really was happy to be wrong. Because they came out of the gate in the wild card series like their hair was on fire, didn't they? I mean, they didn't just sweep the Twins, they embarrassed the Twins. And I was excited, but I was still pretty skeptical. And I said so. Wrong again, Randy. And again, I was elated to be wrong. Because they just hammered the A's in the divisional round. And at that point, I was starting to think that maybe the Astros we watched in September were imposters, or maybe lookalikes, and the real Astros had just been waiting for the playoffs before they showed up. Suddenly, they just looked like an entirely different team, and I began to believe, you know what I mean? Well, of course you know what I mean. We all felt that way, didn't we? And then the ALCS came along, and I was all in. I was absolutely sure that the Astros had finally found their stride. They were going to continue to put up big numbers every night against the Rays. But no, it couldn't be that simple, could it? Just as quickly as they went from awful to awesome, they turned right back around and took a nosedive into atrocious. Yeah, I admit it. Somebody's been thumbing through the thesaurus. But really, rooting for the Astros this season has been kind of like bungee cord jumping off the bridge over the Royal Gorge in Colorado, up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's exactly what happened when the Astros left that home run factory in Chavez Ravine, and then they just traveled an hour or so south to Petco Park in San Diego. But instantly, they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. And the Rays jumped out to a 3-0 series lead. It was really hard to watch, wasn't it? Everything, I do mean everything, fell Tampa Bay's way. Hey, look, we all knew the series would boil down to the Rays pitching versus the Astros hitting. But it was as if those impersonators who borrowed the Astros uniforms and played in their place in September, it was if somehow they had hijacked the team bus as it left Dodger Stadium, and they were back to being the team that couldn't hit the ground if it weren't for gravity last month. Yeah, sure, look, the hot, dry air in L.A. made the ball carry, and that had a lot to do with why Oakland and Houston combined for 24 home runs in four games. But the Astros went from averaging over 8 runs a game against the A's to under 3 runs a game against the Rays. Is there really that much difference between the pitching staff of the A's and the Rays? Well, apparently so, because in the period of 2 days, the Astros just fell off a cliff. And I almost threw up with motion sickness from going up and down and up and down and up and down. And the Space City Mountain roller coaster ride wasn't over. Sorry, couldn't help myself. But let me just pause right here and say something. It wasn't that the Astros were playing bad. In fact, they were actually playing pretty darn good, but the Rays were just playing better. They were taking big risks and diving for fly balls in the outfield, but they were catching all of them. You know, if even one had gotten past an outfielder, we'd have been looking at 2-1 instead of 3-0 at that point. As Astro legend Craig Biggio used to like to say, sometimes you just got to tip your hat to the other guy and say good play. And that was pretty much the story of the first three games. But just when I thought the ride was over, excuse the pun, lo and behold, here came game four. Don't take off your seatbelt yet, mother, because the Sky Screamer is still rolling. Zach Greinke calmly walked out to the mound and turned in an absolutely astounding performance. Even the most bitter and spiteful Astros haters had to admire that. He threw one, count them, one bad pitch in six innings of work, and the Rays made him pay with a two-run dinger. But that was it. Even when he started to tire in the sixth inning, he didn't back down. Dusty Baker walked out to the bump, and Martin Maldonado just stepped right in between the skipper and the pitcher. He immediately said, he's got this guy. Leave him in. And that wasn't just any guy at the plate. It was Randy Arozarena. He's the hottest hitter in baseball. He's that rookie phenom. He just can't seem to miss these days. He's gone yard five times in the postseason. And Greinke proved Maldi right. He just took a deep breath, and he fanned Arozarena in four pitches. It was one of those magical moments that can only happen in playoff baseball. Somehow, some way, the Astros survived to play another day. And that set up Thursday night. I like to call Game 5 the long row of rookies. How many rookie pitchers did Dusty have to run out there? Five in a row? Something like that. But it worked. The Astros carried that one-run lead into the late innings, and then the Rays got a solo home run to tie it, and my heart just sank. I just felt like, well, this is the end of the ride. A remarkable ride, but the end nonetheless. But once again, I was wrong, and once again, boy, was I glad to be wrong. In the bottom of the ninth, Carlos Correa blotted out all the great catches by the Rays and all the bad throws by Jose Altuve. He lengthened the season by one more game, when I was convinced the Astros didn't have one more game in them. When he rounded third, Correa held his hand up to his ear. You know how he likes to do that, even though there was no crowd in Petco Park to make any noise. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he could hear me and my wife screaming at the tops of our lungs all the way back here in Houston. We all know what happened Friday night, but no matter how the season plays out ultimately, that walk-off home run is going to shine like a brand new penny in an otherwise pretty doggone dark and bleak 2020, wouldn't you say? I just want to personally thank our beloved Astros for giving all of us in Houston something to cheer about when we most definitely needed it most. No matter how it all turned out, the Astros were never supposed to go this far. It's all gravy. You know, there was a time when I would have loved to have gone to a sports bar with my son and watched games like these last few with other Astros fans. But in these days of the coronavirus and the pandemic and the shutdown and the quarantine, you know, all those other words that we're truly sick of, literally, sports watching parties just aren't possible anymore. And after hosting the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show for these last few years, I've come to realize we fans are not the only ones who are desperate to fill up sports bars and venues. The owners and operators of those establishments and the people who work there, they're all frantic to get customers back in place again because a lot of those people are very close to having to shutter their businesses if they haven't already declared bankruptcy. The hospitality industry is suffering as badly, if not worse, than any enterprise in the economy today. Of course, restaurateurs and caterers are going out of business right and left, but heck, even purveyors that supply the eateries, like seafood, Boyd's One Stop, or meat, the Belleville Meat Market, or fruits and vegetables, Brothers Produce, all of them are also scrambling to figure out ways just to stay in business long enough to outlast the pandemic. It's such a big problem that our old friend and world-class restaurant entrepreneur Chris Shepherd, he recently said that he spends hours every day on the phone pleading with members of Congress to pass the Restaurant Act, That's a $120 billion grant program that would provide some relief for struggling restaurants all over the country. So we decided that today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, we'd call upon the expertise of an old friend and colleague, and he knows quite a bit about the food and beverage industry. And who knows? We might even be able to coax a cool cooking story out of him along the way.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
make welcome a guy that I have known and I've worked with, dating all the way back to our days in Armed Forces Radio when we were both stationed in Korea. This is a man named Jim White. How are you, specialist?
I am doing fine, Sergeant. Trying to stand at attention at my age is not easy.
As a matter of fact, the first sergeant just told me you need to go get a haircut and keep that mustache trimmed up to regulations. Yeah. And get that done, will you?
It's a good thing we're on the radio, pal, because I really need a haircut now these days.
Jim and I not only worked together in AFRTS while we were in the Army, but we also worked at a couple of other stateside stations after we got out of the Army. One was in Dallas, and then later on we worked together again in El Paso. Boy, those were good days, weren't they, my brother?
Boy, indeed they were. And, you know, people have said regarding to Elvis, and there's a point to this story, they said if he had stopped after 1957, he still would have been a legend. If you and I had stopped after KNUS, that would have been enough for an entire radio career.
It certainly would. As a matter of fact, for me, I think back on it, working for Gordon McLendon at KNUS in Dallas, that was one of the highlights of my career because I grew up in Fort Worth. I idolized the man, and I was doing the morning show at that station, and one morning I was talking about the election. It was 1976, and I said, call in and tell me, who do you think should be president? Not who do you want to be president. Who do you think should be president? And I said, I think it should be Hubert Humphrey because he just wants it so bad. Mm-hmm. And apparently Gordon thought that was hilarious. And so he walked into the control room about 10 minutes later and he said, I just wanted to tell you, young man, to keep up the good work. And of course, I was on cloud nine then. And I walked into Bart, his son's office, after I got off the air and I told him that story. And he went, God, I wish Dad had quit screwing around with my radio station.
Oh, but he had such a wonderful touch at that. It was amazing. Of course, we didn't get to live some of the earlier involvement that Gordon had with his first station here in Dallas, KLIF, when he was known to have called disc jockeys from a payphone saying, your replacement is downstairs. Go and let him in.
Yeah, I got one of those calls one night, too. That was pretty bizarre. But, you know, the stories also go to that Mexican station that we both worked for in El Paso. Those will live on forever.
XE Aroca, Juarez, Mexico.
Yes, exactly. But like a lot of those Mexican stations, they were much more powerful. The FCC won't allow anything in the United States over 50,000 watts. We had 150,000 watts at 800 on the dial. We were showing up in cities like L.A. and Denver and Phoenix and Dallas-Fort Worth, like a local station. And I remember the night we signed that transmitter on the air, we had a big cocktail party. You remember this?
I may have had too many cocktails that evening. Enlighten me.
We brought in all the advertising agencies and all the other big media types in El Paso, had this big cocktail party in the transmitter site, and of course, we didn't have voltage regulators on the line, and the rock crushing plant down the street shut down at midnight. The voltage doubled on the line and fried the transmitter.
Well, I do recall that because I remember seeing the original site where the original X-Rock transmitter was, and it was hugely powerful, and I'll never forget asking, what are those marks on the floor here? And I said, oh, that's where the original guy who installed this thing was electrocuted and fried putting this in.
Oh my God. I don't mean to laugh at death, but that is kind of a funny story. And all of those stories just scratched the surface of the adventures that we had back in the 1970s. I need to write another book. Have you read my first book, Jim?
I have. It's delightful. I listened to it as well.
Well, thank you for letting me plug my book.
Yeah.
The Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon and Audible and a bunch of other places.
You should.
But Jim and I haven't actually seen each other physically in decades.
Well,
but we stay in touch on social media platforms. And oddly enough, here our careers have intersected again by way of the food preparation industry, because Jim has hosted a broadcast feature called Savor Dallas for many years. Talk about that.
Well, the broadcast feature was the restaurant show that I did for CBS. which actually spawned, if you will, the Food and Wine event that my wife and I produced called Savor Dallas. But it was really my first foray into talk radio. One of our dearly departed and longtime colleagues who was with us at KNUS, Michael Spears, and I were working together in Chicago. He came back to Dallas to run KRLD, which is a legacy news talk station in the Southwest that all radio people know. Your listeners may not have ever tuned in or been in this area, so they wouldn't. But he said, I want you to do our morning show. I'm going to hire you to come back to Dallas. I want you to do our morning show. And I also want you to start a restaurant show on the weekend. And I kind of laughed, and I said, Michael, you may have noticed, but I'm not a chef. And he said, no, you don't have to be a chef. He said, you know good food and wine and travel. And he said, more importantly, you know good radio.
Yes, you do.
So I was on the air 6 days a week, and this show became something that was a whole lot more interesting to me to work with the great chefs. And they weren't just Dallas or Texas chefs. We had Wolfgang Puck and Charlie Trotter and Norman Van Aken, great chefs from all over the country who were on the show. Julia Child was my first guest, for heaven's sake.
Wow.
And I began thinking, gosh, you know, this is really what I want to do. But it was only the support of my delightful and beautiful wife, who was my bride of 6 months, when I went to her and said, honey, how would you feel if I gave up 80 to 90% of our income to do something I'm passionate about? After her jaw picked up from the floor, she said, well, I trust you. If you think you can make it work, go ahead. And so that sealed the deal for me. And we're celebrating 25 years in just a few months. So with her support and patience, we were able to take that show, and we never syndicated it, because I didn't want to be a cookie cutter kind of show that was trying to appeal to 25 or 30 markets. I really wanted to focus on Dallas-Fort Worth because I thought it was a big enough pond to swim in. And then after a few years of doing that, we kind of took a challenge, which I'd liken to what happens when the dog actually catches the car it's chasing, by starting Savor Dallas. We had no experience other than her charity work and me sort of hosting promotional events. We had no idea what we were doing, and we put together an event that ultimately turned into the largest fine wine, food and wine event in Texas, maybe the Southwest. But it was a wonderful labor of love that we did for 10 years, and then we had an offer that we didn't want to refuse from the Dallas Morning News, and they took it over, and we consulted with them for a few years, and then they decided, well, this is not something we're interested in doing anymore, so they just let it go.
Wow.
It just, one day it just vanished.
Wow. So you're no longer involved at all, and the event doesn't take place anymore.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there are people who have been kind enough to say, well, they never did it as well as you guys did anyway. And you broke the mold when you left, and you know that sort of thing. But it is true. It was a very personal experience for us, and one that we took great care in maintaining high quality with. And when somebody doesn't have that investment emotionally in something, where it's just a business, just a line on a spreadsheet, a P&L to be considered, you know, it doesn't come off with the same kind of, you know, panache, if you will, or passion.
Sure.
So, but anyway, Randy, I got to tell you, it's a blessing in disguise, because this is no time in the world to be trying to do an event, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, that's true.
We would have been out of business.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, nonetheless, Savor Dallas must have brought you into contact with a lot of different restaurateurs, some highly accomplished chefs, like you mentioned before.
Hundreds.
And then here comes COVID. It's got to have changed the food preparation business.
Yes.
I would think forever.
Yeah.
So we've run out of time in this segment, but I would like for you to talk about that some more in the next segment. Can you stick around?
You bet. Happy for you, anything.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back with one of my dearest friends and also a colleague in the radio business, Jim White, former owner of Saber Dallas. Thanks for taking the time to visit with us today, my brother.
It is my pleasure, my friend, and I'm just delighted. I've taken your advice since last week's show. Life is too short to drink cold coffee, so thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate that. Jim has operated Saber Dallas for many, many years, and that project has introduced him to dozens of the top chefs and restaurateurs, not only in North Texas, but as he told us in the first segment, all over the world. So who are among your favorites?
Oh my goodness. You know, I started a celebrity chef program for the State Fair of Texas. And we, over a 5-year period, hosted over 600 cooking demonstrations with some of the top chefs anywhere. And I mean, you know, we're talking fave raves in this area. Folks in Houston may not know them as well, but Stephen Piles and Dean Fearing, who were fast friends and running buddies with Robert Del Grande, Houston restaurateur extraordinaire. And we did, you know, that caliber of chef came out, schlepped their, all of their stuff like it was a catering event, out to the State Fair of Texas to do a 1-hour cooking demo with me, and I sort of played the sidekick.
Right.
But I found that over a period of time, a lot of that rubbed off. And I'd say a minimum of 600 hours of cooking classes makes you a pretty good cook. But, I mean, we had chefs from all over Texas. And, Randy, I'm sorry, I'm very old now, and I'd have to struggle for a while to remember the names of all of the chefs. But I could get back to you on that.
Let me consult my notes. But I wanted to get your take on how the COVID pandemic and the quarantine and all of that has affected the food preparation business.
Horribly.
And I mean that both short-term and long-term, and for small mom-and-pop locally-owned restaurants and big chain restaurants. Start with the short-term. What happened to the local eateries in Dallas in the initial stages of the outbreak?
Well, I mean, it was pure catastrophe. I mean, it was an unknown situation, and people didn't know what to do. They were scrambling, struggling, and terrified. But they say as many as 1 in 5 restaurants have closed. And that may be the number that remains closed, even after we come out of this thing with some workable lifestyle and social norm going forward. But it just slammed the business. And then the uncertainty about what should we do? What do we do? There was not a consistent game plan, you know, being voiced nationally, statewide, or locally. So there was a lot of confusion about that. Who could open? When could open? How many people could come in? What do we do? And thank God that so many of the chefs jumped on the to-go bandwagon. I mean, we got 5-star chefs in Dallas doing curbside pickup now, and that's keeping their business afloat, but it can't sustain the business long term. The only thing that's going to do that is because restaurants like food stores operate on very thin margins. They've got to be full to capacity almost every meal service, and if they can, turn those tables a couple of times a night and you know, repeat that day in and day out. So I'm not sure when that's going to happen again. So it still remains very tenuous for the restaurants. I'm afraid a lot of people are going to go out of business as a result of it. And I don't want to get into the politics, but there was a lot of inequity in how that paycheck protection plan was doled out.
Yep.
I talked to a lot of restaurateurs who were there on the very first day with their applications and were denied.
Wow.
And meanwhile, chain groups with hundreds of locations got millions of dollars. So there's some disparity there.
Yeah. Well, if anything, the Houston chefs with whom I talk are convinced that this curbside pickup thing is going to remain a big part of their businesses for a very long time. How about you?
Absolutely. I agree with that. In fact, many of them are building a drive-thru. You know, it's like Jack in the Box was decades ahead of its time with the concept. So even upscale restaurants are building these new locations so that people can conveniently drive through and pick up their food. Because let's face it, we're a convenience society. So, yes, I think that will continue. The to-go section, I mean, there are many fine restaurant operations that are have done such a great job with this. I was reading in the Houston Chronicle about a lot of the great restaurants who have been so successful with doing this. And the list of names of these people, you would never expect Tony's for heaven's sakes, to be doing takeout food. But, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, they are. One of our favorite chefs here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is a local restaurateur named Ron Brandani.
Okay.
And I ask him what he thought some of the long-term trends would be as a result of this. And he said he thought greasy spoon joints would disappear because patrons are now going to demand extremely clean conditions. He even went so far as to say restaurants are going to have to be as clean as hospitals or people just won't eat there. How do you see it?
Well, I think that would that's a very good idea. I would tend to agree with him. You know, that's always been, oh, just don't ask, don't tell, just get your food and go. But yeah, there have been some pretty lamentable stories told through the years about the health conditions in certain restaurants. So I think, yes, indeed to that, not only the factor of cleanliness and good health, but the factor of good nutrition is important too. And so, you know, that's going to be a factor in the kind of food and the kind of selections that are available. I think at the end of the day, it's going to wind up being a healthy and a productive trend and or evolution that is made by these restaurants. And, you know, I don't want to be the one that says, well, maybe there were too many restaurants to begin with. I think even though the numbers will shrink, you know, the strong will survive. And I think that it's going to offer more options to diners, better food, better choices, and hopefully better prices on some of these. I was reading that Roost, a restaurant in Houston, is maybe the only spot in the area that has significantly discounted its entire pricing for takeout. And so that would be another good thing, too, if more restaurants followed that. A little bit lower price point to get for, you know, a higher quantity of food sales.
Now, before you get away, Jim, we've only got a minute here, but I did see a post you made about a meal that you and your wife, Vicky, prepared one night. You had an unexpected brownout in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now, power outages are pretty common here on the Upper Texas Gulf Coast. We have hurricanes, but they're pretty unusual in Dallas.
Yeah.
So what happened and how did you prepare that meal?
Well, it was a thunderstorm, so a lightning took out a transformer, and the entire, if people are familiar with the Turtle Creek neighborhood of Dallas, we're close to downtown, uptown, so the whole neighborhood just went dark, and I was in the middle of cooking. Now, number one, we moved out of a house about a year ago, and I always grilled. That was my job, but when we got to the high-rise, you know, safety regulations, so on, can't have a propane unit on a patio or anything here. So I just started doing more stuff in the kitchen. And I hadn't cooked on an electric stove in 30 years. But I was doing my first salmon on the stove and on the electric stove. And I just got it in the pan and it was nice, fresh sockeye. And the power went out. And I'm screaming, oh my God, and things that I can't say on your radio station or in public. And I said, I just got it in the pan. And I cooked it. I said, well, maybe it'll work. And I turned it and hey, it looked pretty good. And we got it out of there. And I really gave thanks for residual heat. I had a good pan that had gotten really hot. And the electric stove, just by the nature of what it does, retained a little bit of heat, even though the power went out, and I was able to finish the meal. And it was great, and I may have overcooked it because it was my first time to do it in the pan, but this way it was perfect.
What was it they used to call it when we were kids? Hangover heat.
Hangover heat, yeah.
Yeah, hangover heat. This has been my longtime friend and radio colleague, Jim White, up in Dallas. Let's talk again soon, brother, and give my love to Vicky.
And my best to Cindy and you, and bon appetit.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd's Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We used to be Hudson and Harrigan on the radio, but now we're just two old grandfathers on the radio. Here's Fred Olson. How you doing there, Grandpa?
You know, I'm doing really well. It reminds me that the 2 days after Elia was born, March 20th, they let us go. And so it's interesting. I always remember her birthday. So now she's 10, so it's been 10 and a half. So it's interesting.
Yep.
You know, what life has dealt in that time. It's just been really magnificent having the grandkids around. They're in town. Meredith is doing a songwriters song labs in San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be heading off, and we'll have the kids for about 5-6 days on around. But we've been raising them since they were little babies, so it's all good. They love the ranch.
Yeah, I bet they do. Kids love to be out in the wide open spaces like that. What kind of things do you do with the kids outside?
Well, we hunt for things. Like, they want to go find snakes. And then I said, well, you probably don't have to hunt them. If you wait around, they'll show up. But then they like to go ride and review. We've got a We got a ranger, and we roll through the woods a lot and look at the deer, and they help me fill the feeders for the deer. And then they're doing their schoolwork because they're homeschooled, so it's kind of neat to go, no, I'm doing my schoolwork. I went, are you normal? But, you know, I'm looking at what the 10-year-old is. She's got to learn a lot of the Declaration of Independence. She's got to learn it.
Hmm.
And I look at her and I said, you know, if you learn this, you're going to know more than 99% of most Americans.
That's true.
Because if you ask the average person on this, I'm not kidding you. I'm going, they're teaching you things that people, I said, you know, there are a lot of things adults don't know. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, like the entire Declaration of Independence.
Right. So, yeah. I don't know it. Do you?
No. I mean, I know a few pieces. You know, we got these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and God, but, you know. So anyway, that few of those highlights, yeah. But all of it? No.
No. Well, you're already way ahead of me. I didn't even know that much. And I must admit, I'm kind of envious of you because even though my kids and my grandson live only 2 miles away, we've only seen them a handful of times in the last 6 months due to this pandemic and the quarantine.
Sure.
So enjoy these moments you have with your grandkids and your kids. I wish I could do that.
It really, it's really, really nice. They're on their way through. They're doing actually revival across America. I don't know if some of the listeners have heard of Sean Foyt.
Uh-huh.
And Franklin Graham Jr. and Michael and Meredith. She leads worship singing. And they were in Dallas, they were in Fort Worth, they were in Kerrville, they were in Tampa. They just did Atlanta. And I'm not sure where they're going next.
Are they not coming to Houston?
I don't think they're doing one in Houston. I don't know. It all depends on where it gets set up and where this Lord takes them, you know, where they're going to go. And, but, I mean, we're talking 9,000-10,000 people get together for these things. It's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
But every time they get a permit, they get to town and people go, well, you can't do it now. Well, we'll get a permit for another venue. Okay, then the day before, well, we're not going to let you do that. So they had to go through three venues sometimes to get to a place in a city because cities will block them.
Huh.
But they still make it happen. It's something, you know, God steps in and makes it happen. So it's kind of fascinating to watch.
Well, I enjoy these moments with your grandkids, Fred. My son, Derek, did come up with a way for Liam, our grandson, to spend the night with us one Friday night a couple of weekends ago. He had him tested for the coronavirus, and the results came back the next day.
Yeah.
And so they kept him away from other people for another 24 hours, and they brought him directly to us. And we had a fabulous time, but those moments just don't happen often enough as far as we're concerned. So enjoy them while you can.
Oh, I will. I really plan to. And yeah, we're having fun. And just, it's just neat to see them grow. You know, it's a blessing to see your grandchildren grow and see what they'll become and how they, that's kind of nice now because when they're little kids, conversations were really kind of stilted. It's like, I want one. And now the last year about things and, you know, where are the deer and what kind of deer are they and what kind of animals do you have? And have you ever seen a moose? And, you know, always.
Have you ever seen a moose? I love it.
Well, actually, I have, but just the things that last, you know, just, you know, totally different from being little children.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a blessing.
Sure.
It's a blessing.
Well, you know, Fred, I think one of the good things to come out of this pandemic, if there are any good things that come out of the pandemic, one of the good things is that I think many of us have a renewed awareness of the importance of relationships. And I don't just mean family relationships. I mean friendships and church attendance and things like that that we kind of took for granted.
Absolutely. And you know, I was in a store that the Dennis woman's looking at me. I go, Terry, it's me. She goes, I could tell by your eyes. And I said, you realize we're learning to really look at people's eyes when they speak now.
Yeah, because you got a mask on, right?
Yeah, the eyes are the windows to the soul. So you can tell if somebody's really smiling or not, or really glad to see you. And so hopefully that'll go away pretty soon. I think this county is opening up a lot right now out here in Colorado County and Lavaca County. So,
well, in my church, Sugarland Baptist, they're seriously considering the idea of starting back up in-person Bible study on Sunday morning. We've been doing Zoom Sunday school for months now.
Yeah.
But they're starting to ask the congregation how they feel about meeting on campus again. And I just can't do that, Fred. I'm 71 years old. I'm right in the crosshairs of mortality for this virus. And candidly, I can't take that chance. So I may be forced to stop teaching youth Bible study for the first time in about 25 years. And I must admit, that's kind of a gut-wrenching decision for me to have to make.
What about if we wear, they say a mask, right? It's supposed to protect us. So if you wear a mask and...
Well, I'm just not comfortable with that.
Oh, okay, okay.
And there's plenty of doctors who say that being in enclosed places like that are still not good. And it's the fact that so many of my friends have contracted this virus and had big health issues, and some of them have even died.
Wow.
So I'm taking it pretty seriously.
I got you.
But this quarantine has forced a lot of people to make some really tough decisions, like sports teams, for instance, schools and pros. I mean, it's kind of weird to watch Texans play in NRG without a full house of the screaming, rabid, diehard fans in the stands, isn't it?
Well, they actually have won a game, so that was good. And I,
yay!
Yeah, it should have been 40-7, but that's okay. it's a W. You can't go, you know, my glass is half full, not half empty when it comes to the Texans. But
yeah, personally, I think this team is better than its record. But, you know, Bill Parcells once said, you are what your record says you are. And if that's the case, I'm sorry, the Texans are among the worst teams in the league. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think that when they throw the ball downfield, Brandon Cooks looked pretty special.
Uh-huh.
Will Fuller looked good. He threw to seven different receivers in the first quarter. And that's kind of unusual, and throwing a ball more than 20 yards downfield, which paid off big. They got nothing to lose. Why not loosen it up? Have fun.
And then we find out Bernardrick McKinney is gone for the season. He's got a shoulder injury that's going to require surgery.
Oh.
So the Texans just lost one of their best tacklers right before they play arguably the best running back in the NFL, Derrick Henry. 2020 just keeps getting better and better and better, doesn't it?
Well, what's so interesting, I mean, some of that, like Dak Prescott, what a horrible injury.
Oh, that was horrible.
Cool. Like we said, you're always one hit away from mediocrity.
Yep.
Any team, you know, it's just, gosh. But it's fun, the drama of, like, KC losing to the Raiders. Now, they haven't lost to the Raiders in, like, I don't know, how many years?
Long time.
It's just the different things unfolding, and Atlanta's turned loose. So there, we better find a general manager one of these days, because they're all going to be taken up real quick with the teams that have draft picks and an immediate future, unlike us. But so it's just fun, the drama of watching different teams. I'm enjoying seeing Cleveland, who's been horrible for years, actually put together a team that looks like they know what they're doing. It's been forever.
You have mentioned Cleveland a couple of times, Fred. Are you a closet Baker Mayfield fan or something? Please tell me you're not a closet Baker Mayfield fan.
Not really. I saw them for years get all these first-round draft picks and just suck. Horrible management. You know, you just go, they have all the number one picks. They had so many, they were like, well, give a few away. Good grief. And it's just kind of fun to see a team that was so horrible finally, you know, kind of fun to watch. But yeah, I watched Mayfield from the time he was in college, and then I thought he had a lot of swagger, kind of backed it up, and then they had sucked a couple of years, and he learned his lesson last year. And it's just fun to see some dramas unfold, unlike ours right now. We're sitting with 2 years for this year.
No, it doesn't. Well, I must admit, I envy your time with your kids and your grandkids.
Yeah.
So give them all a hug for me. Tell Bev hello, and we'll talk next week. Okay, pal?
Hey, I'm going to go make burgers.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?